On Monday's program, Chuck Swindoll started his message by quoting the ancient Greek philosopher Plato, who was quoting his mentor Socrates when he wrote, "The life which is unexamined is not worth living." Chuck used this classic statement as the basis for a rather shocking commentary on the church. He added, "The church that's unexamined is not worth attending." Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck continues a bold new mini-series designed to take a long, hard look at the local church. This two-part study was originally presented to the congregation where Chuck has served as senior pastor for 20 years. We begin with prayer.
Our Father, these who have our hearts today, whose lives have been broken and torn, bruised, and in some cases grieved over the loss of loved ones, how we pray for them, how our hearts go out to them. As only you can do, Lord, show yourself faithful and strong. Meet needs in ways that I couldn't even think to name. Bring what they cannot bring to themselves, and that is a ray of hope, a touch of grace, a measure of strength to go on. Because you are our faithful God, remind them in various ways that there is a tomorrow, and that you will see them through. Help them, Lord, as they face what we would call an absolute abject tragedy. May they find from you the strength that's needed to be able to put one foot in front of the other, to put arms around each other, and through the help and love of friends and family, face, go through, and then get beyond where they find themselves right now. Provide for them encouragement and again, hope that today is so thin and hard to find. And may they one day know the joy of recovery. And may they look back and realize the things learned only through times like this, as tribulation, heartbreak, and loss bring us to our knees, we really have only one way to look, and that is up. We pray, Lord, that we will all learn to hold everything loosely, to realize that eternal things are not the things with price tags, and the things that are treasures are not the things we purchase. May relationships grow closer together. May, in fact, families be drawn tighter with one another. Give them all courage to press on. Speak to us as a church, our Father, as we think about this place where we worship, which plays such a vital role in our lives. May we look at ourselves realistically and see what is here and acknowledge what isn't. Give us the courage to face that and to address it in our own personal lives. Speak through your word to me, to us, to everyone, so that this passage takes life and brings for all of us a direction that is helpful in the days ahead. And especially our Father, through it all, we thank you for your faithfulness that is new every morning with your mercies that come. In the name of Christ, our powerful and matchless Savior, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Let's Think About Our Church.
As I look at these verses, Romans 12, 6 through 18, I see that they are in two parts. Verses 6, 7, and 8 have to do with what we do. And then verses 9 through 18, how we do it. It's just that simple. As I look at the part that answers what we do, verses 6 through 8, I see seven specific gifts that God gives the church. You see them yourself in your Bible. I have them marked in mine. You may want to mark yours. Let's kind of check them off one by one. Verse 6, prophesy. Verse 7, serve. Verse 7, teach. Verse 8, encourage. Verse 8, give, lead, and show mercy. These are called spiritual gifts. Now, if you're not clued into spiritual gifts, many people aren't, and therefore, this will be new information. For you who don't know your way around the New Testament, which is certainly understandable, you would not know there are four different lists of spiritual gifts. This is one of them in the Scriptures. So only seven are mentioned here. If we're to get all the lists together, we'd come up with more than seven that the Lord has given the church. In other words, these are special abilities that God gives to individuals so that they carry out that particular function with ease, with joy, and with effectiveness. Let's check them off as we think about what we do. There are those among us who love and have been given the ability to prophesy. Now, years ago, before the Bible was complete, to prophesy meant to tell the future. You made a statement as a prophet, and you prophesied that this is going to happen yet future. When the Bible was completed, the whole concept of prophecy within the church changed to proclaiming what is revealed. So a person who has the gift of prophesying has the ability to proclaim God's word with conviction. That's one of my gifts. That's a gift others of you have. Now look, there's more. When you start reading in the Bible, you see more. So look at this. If your gift is serving, that's much clearer to everybody. There are people who take care of needs, work behind the scenes, help folks who can't take care of certain things, or they pick up the slack. They serve others. See there? Serving. Now, there's a third. If you're a teacher. Now, a teacher is one who explains the truth with competence and clarity. You have the ability as a teacher to take verses apart and then put them back together in a way that makes them clear, understandable. Most who are gifted as preachers also have a gift of teaching. Not all. Some are gifted only to preach, like evangelists would preach. They don't necessarily teach the Scriptures. They preach the gospel. It's another subject. Teaching would be those who help you understand what the verses mean. They explain the meaning of the truth. Now look on in the list. We've got a checklist going. If your gift is to encourage others, that's self-explanatory. You're in a group and you have the ability to just lift the spirit of others. The right words are said or the right thoughts are given and they find their spirits lifted up. So that's the gift of encouragement. Look at the next one. If it is the gift of giving, you know what that means. The person who loves to give is very generous. They often give more money than others who don't have the gift of giving. That's all part of the gift. They see everything right about generosity. But it's not just money. They're free to give their time, their energy, their effort, their thoughts, their ideas. They're giving people. And the church has people like that. And believe me, it keeps a church wonderfully on the cutting edge with people who have a gift of giving. And then there is the gift of what I would call providing guidance or organization. Here it's called leadership. If you have the gift of leadership, you can walk into a situation that's a little chaotic and you can cut through the chaos and bring order. Or you have a group that lacks direction, you have the ability to give them direction. And Lord knows the value of that in a church. And then finally, the gift of showing mercy or showing kindness. You see that in verse 8 at the end, showing kindness to others. And that, again, is self-explanatory. You're the one who needs to make those calls to the hospital. You're the one who ought to come alongside the person who has been laid aside. You know what to do. You know what to say. You know how to say it. You know timing. You know the right moment to be there. And your heart goes out to the person that's in great need. You have the gift of showing mercy. So it's a checklist. You go right through them. And notice with each gift, there's a command. Did you look over that or pass that by too quickly? Go back. If you have the ability to prophesy or to proclaim, speak out. Don't hold back. Exercise that gift of preaching or proclaiming. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, well, serve others well. Don't grouse about it or regret the time it takes. Get in there and serve well. If you're a teacher, teach well. Prepare yourself. Get that lesson together and teach in a way that's interesting. If your gift is encouraging, encourage others. When you're on the phone and you have a chance to do something on the phone to encourage them. When you're with someone that you sense is down, lift them up. It's all part of exercising your gift. And the same with giving. Give generously. And if it's leadership, take that responsibility seriously, says this translation. And then showing kindness. Well, do it gladly. There are people that go to a hospital call and they'll be with someone that's in the bed and they're facing surgery. And that person who visits them just lifts the spirit of those people who were there. Or maybe they minister to someone who is a loved one that's there. Or someone has lost a special person in their life. Someone who shows mercy, shows kindness, has the ability to really bring hope and recovery to that life. You get the picture. That's part of the reason we exist. If these gifts are not engaged, if they're not active, we might as well shut her down. Because you're not going to get that at a school. You won't get that in a courthouse. You definitely won't get that in a courthouse. The list is not written for those who serve the law. This is for the church. This is what makes the church so magnetic, so attractive. These gifts that draw people to us. They want to be a part of it because they see these things at work. Now, the question is how? How do we carry out the gifts that God has given to us? And by the way, every person has at least one gift. Yes, you do. I know you're thinking, not me, man. If you only realized the Spirit of God that would love to use you in the area of your gift. So knowing what your gift is a big part of your growing as a Christian and cultivating that gift. And when you know you don't have the gift, you don't live under the guilt of not being good at that. There are some things I'm not really good at. And what's interesting is when you're married to someone who is really good at that. And you know, notice I point in this direction. I'm good in this. Cynthia's good in that. She's better at in these areas than I am. I'm better in certain areas than she is. And so it's called complementing each other. We're not in competition. We serve alongside each other. And that just happens to be in our marriage, in our family. In the church, it's the same way. Oh, by the way, some gifts are better known than other gifts. It's like a team. Most everyone who follows a team can name the quarterback. Very few can name the guard or the tackle. Nobody can name the offensive line. But the quarterback will be the first one to tell you that offensive lineman is the secret of my survival. And they will all tell you that. So we've got quarterbacks. We've got guards. We've got wide receivers that have to receive the ball when it's passed to them. But the quarterback has to be protected and all that goes with it. When you're in a church, people know the name of the one who does the proclamation. It's just part of it. It's not that that person is more important, because that person would be the first to say, I really have to have a great center to snap the ball. The person who snaps the ball to the quarterback must know timing, must know when it is to be snapped, and how that quarterback likes to have the ball handed to him. And he also must be protected by the guard and tackle on the offensive line. And if he's going to throw the ball, he has to have someone who catches it well. And that person is called a wide receiver or maybe a tight end. That individual must also know how to block as well as to get out there in the flank and to catch the pass. Or whatever may be the play that's being run, each person runs the plays, and it's a well-oiled, we often call it a well-oiled machine. A church that has spiritual gifts actively involved, in people engaged in their gifts, it's like a well-oiled machine. In many ways, I see our church like that. I see gifted people in every one of these areas, and even those I haven't mentioned, that are spiritual gifts just as important as these. None is more important than another, though some are better known than others. And that's the way God plans it. The better the gifts work together, the more there is harmony and unity and joy and humility that works its way out in the exercising of the gift. You see that? That's all seen in those verses that we've just read. One of the things you pray for as a pastor is that God would bring the gifted ones and help them know they have those gifts and help them work with one another in a way that pleases him. Now, how is that? Verses 9 through 18 tell us. And it isn't complicated. It all revolves around the one four-letter word, love. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. I asked our longtime friend, Dr. Stan Toussaint, to tell me how he would describe a healthy church. How about the role of the pastor of a church? He said it's very simple. Teach the truth, love the people. And he's right. You just don't get much better than that. If you are well taught and if you are well loved, you will find yourself able to grow and respond in so many ways to the truth that you gain from God's word. Because love is such a vital, vital thing. Now, how we carry it out is extremely important. And if you work your way through these verses, you could see it for yourself. One of the characteristics of a really loving others is a lack of hypocrisy. See how he puts it? Don't just pretend to love others. You know what the Greek reads? Listen to this. Agape, which is love, on hypokritos. The on means non or no, and hypokritos, we get our word hypocrite from it. Love unhypocritically. Right there in the sentence. Love without hypocrisy. So when we love correctly, we don't have a hidden agenda. I don't manipulate you, making it look like love, but it's really using you. There's no deceit. There's no mask or costume. There's authenticity. I say what I mean, and when I love you as I should, I mean what I say. When I make a promise, I keep my promise because I love you. If I'm a hypocrite, you will discover soon that it's just words. So his first, right out of the chute, is to love without hypocrisy. But there's more. Look at this. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love that is a healthy love is a discriminating love. I've heard young believers, they mean well, but they come out with crazy statements. Like, I love everybody. I love everything. I even love the devil. Go there. No, you are not to love those things or those individuals who are evil. Now, you love the heart of the individual, but you don't love the evil. True love is discriminating and discerning. It isn't mushy and cheap and spineless. It has boundaries. And love, therefore, embraces truth and everything good, but it draws a line when it comes to evil. Has no place for that. Now there's more. Look at verse 10. Love with affection. And he adds to that, take delight in honoring each other. I don't know of another place that is responsible for honoring others, like a church. We honor others. If you're older, we honor you regardless of your age. If you're younger, we care about you. We want to honor you. You have much to learn being younger. That's okay. We were once there, but we honor you. If you're sickly, we honor you because we care about those who are not able on their own to keep up. So our honor looks past age and looks past health issues. Honoring others means we don't play favorites. A church that is healthy and has real honor for others doesn't mark people off and put them on a blacklist or push them aside as if they're unimportant. And this one next, I just am crazy about, you would imagine me to be. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. Here's our word, enthusiastically. The Greek is an interesting term. It means to boil over or to boil up. As you would boil a pot of water, like a boiling with excitement and zeal, and it cannot be contained. There's a love of enthusiasm, a love of excitement. I mean, it just goes without reason. You just respond to people who show enthusiasm in their love for you. Let the love flow out in enthusiasm and a vibrant excitement. And love operates, we notice, with confident hope and a patient fortitude and prevailing prayer and generous compassion. Say these next verses in this passage. You know what? There's a great need for hope transfusion. Hopeless people walk into these doors every week. You lose hope when a home is fracturing. You lose hope when relationships are breaking down. You lose hope when your health is failing. You lose hope when you've lost one of your kids and they're wandering and they're far from home and the things they learned at home. The hopelessness sets in. And that's why he says, when you love, love in such a way that you build back hope.
I'm fairly certain this closing point from Chuck Swindoll doesn't surprise you. He said, when our love flows out in the church with infectious enthusiasm, people begin to have hope. Every day this week, and again next Monday, we're listening to a powerful two-part mini-series from Chuck called Loving One Another. To purchase the two CDs or find downloadable audio files right now, go to insightworld.org/store. Maybe it was this topic that caught your attention when you first heard Insight for Living. Hope has been one of the hallmarks of Chuck's ministry from the very beginning, and it's one of the many reasons God invented the church, to provide a safe place where hurting men and women can get a hope transfusion. Gratefully, we hear from people every day who tell us how these daily programs bring them hope. Chuck's teaching has become their sole source of biblical encouragement. And if you're among those who support Insight for Living, either with your occasional one-time gift or as a monthly companion, let me assure you that your donations are truly making a difference. We couldn't do this without you. Today, we're saying thanks for your donation by providing a brand new concert CD and DVD featuring a stunning performance by the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra. It's called The Gospel. In fact, the music you're hearing right now is one of the 17 selections, including other favorites such as Amazing Grace and Worthy is the Lamb. We're sending both the CD and the DVD editions, so you can either listen in your car or watch the concert on video. And it's yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Just mention the concert called The Gospel when you call this number. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about life in a local church family, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Let's Think About Our Church, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.